by me preaching. I just want to preach to you for just a little while. And then afterwards, we'll watch a short video. I want to get us out on time and hear a little bit more about Brother Moses. So I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, not 2 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're looking at the first three verses of that chapter. And as we continue to preach on through this book, I want you to want to preach to you this part about giving me the word, because that's what it says in verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And as we look down these first three verses of this chapter, I want to preach to you just for a little while and trust it'll be a blessing to you. Hope you're there. The Bible says in verse 1, wherefore, because of all these things, because we have been purified in verse number 22, purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit. Because verse number 23, you've been born again, not a corruptible seed. All of these things, verse number 1 of chapter 2. Wherefore, because of all these things, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, be with us now is our prayer, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at this wonderful passage, and there's a couple things that you've got to do, some that should normally happen, and then the other in verse number 3, what will should just conclude by your position in life as far as following after the Lord. So verse number 1 are those things that you're supposed to do. Hey, because all of these things are true, then lay aside these different items on there. And then in verse number 2, it talks about those normal things that should be happening as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You don't have to teach them most of the time. They sometimes have just a little trouble getting that eating right, but they know what to do. They are God has given that instinct. They want to desire that milk. And so the Bible says that we ought to be the same as Christians. We ought to desire that and then, of course, grow on to meat. But then in verse number 3, we see what will naturally conclude. So I want to preach through this for just a little while. And as we get started, I want you to notice tell you about this in thinking of Christian thought. Seems to be two extremes, and here they are. One is you in your Christian life, you're saved, you're born again, you came to Jesus Christ, you in your Christian life, you don't have to do anything, just let it happen. Whatever God's going to do in your life, just let Him do it. If the Holy Spirit's in you, then He should do everything to change you as if by magic. It's just going to happen on its own. Well, meaning that if there's something that you're attitude is wrong in, don't try to change it. Just let God change it. He's the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, He's big enough to change you. If something so big as Jesus moves in, He ought to stick out. That's what some people would say. Maybe there's some music. Maybe there's an attitude. Maybe there's some dress. Maybe there's some friends. Maybe there's some speech that you use that's not right. Some side of it says, no, you don't have to do anything about that. The Holy Spirit's in you. It'll do all the changing. Then there's a complete other opposite side that says you don't ask for the Lord's help. You just do all these things. You come down and you make it happen. You make sure that you dot all your I's, you cross all your T's, you be who you're supposed to be. You follow these bunch of rules just like a manual or like a handbook, and you do each and every one of them. You don't need to have God's help. You just make it happen. You say, Pastor, which one of those are you for? Neither one. Because you don't just stand there or sit there or lay there or whatever. You say, well, God, whatever you want to do in me, do it. I don't care. I just you're the Holy Spirit. You do what you will. No, the Scripture says, lay aside some things. Do these things. God says, get up and do some of these things. But then on the other side of it, you don't say, okay, if it's me that's supposed to do it, then I'm going to do everything. I'm going to take my ability and I'm going to reason a plan. I'm going to stay separate from everything bad. I'm going to set myself aright in everything that's good. And I'm going to be the person that God wants me to do. I'm going to make it happen without His help. Both of those are wrong, because you see the balance in verse number 1. Lay aside those things. Hey, you Christians, set yourself apart. Do some things different than you used to do. But then in verse number 2, it is that normal, not necessarily natural, but that normal aspect that as a newborn babe desires that sincere milk. They're hungry as soon as they get out. They're hungry. They're ready in those days after they're born. And as a newborn babe desires that, you and I ought to desire that as well. The Holy Spirit should pull that in us and should pull that desire, I should say, in us. So I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 1, there's a need to lay aside. Shame on us as Christians if we're not looking for something that we can do to be more like Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been walking with the Lord. You ought to be having something right now that you're working on. If you don't currently have some, let me give this to you as a challenge. Figure out something before you leave this church service tonight to say, I know something that I could do to make me more like Jesus. One of these days we'll see Him. Well, if we're going to be like Him that day, why not this day? If we're going to be with Him and we're going to have those glorified bodies and we're going to do the things right like He does them then, why not get a head start on it? So I challenge every one of you to go out of this service knowing something, at least one thing, that I believe God would have me do. You say, Pastor, is that you? Oh, I've got a longer list than just one. There's lots of things that I need to work on, but I'm working on some things right now, you better believe it, to try to make me more like Christ. So there's a need to lay aside in verse number one. What are we laying aside? Well, the Bible says malice. Malice is, one commentator put it like this, it's congealed or a little bit in solid anger. Congealed anger, meaning that it's been around for a little while. It wasn't something you just blew your top over, something has happened. You've stuck this one with you. You've kept it around like a pet. I've been mad at him for 3 years because he did it wrong back then. You say, well, does he ever get it right? I don't know. I ain't listening to him. I'm mad at him since back then. It's congealed. Anybody in this room letting bitterness bother you? The Bible talks about that root of bitterness. And my friend, you know I have to be so careful that if there's things that we don't truly let it go or leave it to the Lord, rather. And then can I say this? You've got to let it go to the Lord a lot. As soon as you leave it at the cross, you say, oh, I already gave that to God, but you picked it back up the next day, didn't you? That's what I do. Lord, I leave this to you, this bad attitude. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to give it to you. Not that he wants it, but Lord, I'm giving it to you. Please take it. And that makes me feel so good, and I do so well. But somewhere in the night, I slip back around and say, Lord, I got her again. Give it to me. Congealed anger. There's some of those things. Leave those off, malice. But it goes on to say, and all guile. Guile is just deceit. It's a trick. One aspect of the definition is it's a bait. Meaning that somebody is baiting you in, and of course that trap is there where the bait is. It's the deceit. You know what? You and I can lie without lying. We can lie without saying a word. Some fathers are like this. They enjoy having kids. Why is that? Because there can be so messes. There can be messes everywhere in the house, and mom always just blames the kids. It's natural. She says, your wife thinks, wow, these kids, look at all of the kids left this food out, and they did this, and they did this. And then that dad, he says, boy, you don't say. You know why he doesn't want to say? Because he knows he's the one that did it. It wasn't the kids. But while they're there at the home, might as well use them as the scapegoat. And dad doesn't want to say those things because he's got a lot of guile. Sometimes somebody will assume something, and you'll just go along with their assumption. And you didn't say any words out of that mouth. But you sure did forecast or put forth, I should say, a lie. God says, lay aside these things. Then lay aside these hypocrisies, attempting to be something you're not, evil speaking, being defamation or slander. Now, is one of those extremes that I told you about before. One person says, don't do anything, just let the Spirit work in you. The other says, you got to do it all. Here's where some of those extremes come in. Do I continue that vulgar, ungodly, wicked speaking until all of a sudden God just cleans me up? Or do I say, Holy Spirit of God, please help me. I want everything I do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. My speech is not glorifying you. Lord, when people hear me speak, they think I'm on the other side, not the side of yours. Lord, when people hear my mouth, they think that that must be somebody that's closer, further away from heaven than they are to heaven. And so if my evil speaking is there, then I ought to lay it aside. The teens, as they went to England, and I meant to tell the church that next Sunday night, Brother Kyle will have a rally service, and some of the teens aren't back. They tagged on some vacation time, family vacations afterwards. So next Sunday night, we'll hear some good reports from the teens and Brother Kyle and workers. But the teens went on that trip, and they had those suitcases, and some of them, they put them up there. I think the limit's 50 pounds on there. Well, if you get up there and you put it on that scale, and it's over 50 pounds, what do you have to do? Well, either pay a fee or open up that suitcase, as you've all seen in the airports, and you start weeding out. Well, I don't need that, or I don't need that, or find somebody else who's got room in their suitcase. Usually, what we do is, if you've got kids, you say, well, I don't need that. Of course you don't need that. That's not yours. It's somebody else's. Of course it's easy to throw their stuff out. But what do? You're trimming it down. And God says, you need to trim some stuff down in your Christian life as well. And I have no doubt whatsoever that we in this room, collectively, we represent a lot of things that Christians ought not to be involved in. If statistics are right, and I pray God they're not in our church, there's a majority of men in Christian circles that are addicted to pornography. Not a lot, a majority. I mean, over 50%. Christian, non-Christian, either one. And so there's a host of things in this world, and this that may not be something that's plaguing you, but there's enough for all of us to say grace over as Christians that we ought to lay aside. And so there's that aspect, there's the need to lay it aside. But then in verse number 2, we see there's a normal desire for the Word. Notice I didn't say natural desire, because it's a supernatural desire, because God puts it in you, but it's a normal desire, because that's why God used that analogy of the newborn babe. That baby wants to eat. We have several babies around here, and it's normal for them to want to eat. What do they eat? Christians, the Bible says, as they desire the sincere, that pure, the sincere milk of the Word. And can I just say a little word right here, that it a lot of times we'll put religious significance to things that we hear on podcast or on broadcast or somewhere on social media platforms, and we'll almost bring it to the level of Scripture. Listen, folks, if it's not in Scripture, it's not Scripture. Now, about all your mamas, they said the same thing. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, and some of mine didn't, but some of mine, just like it says in the Bible. Well, don't say that in the Bible. Now, it is good to be clean, but it's not in the Bible. And so there's many of us that sometimes will substitute, and you'll find even folks that aren't saved, they'll substitute some good teaching, and they'll treat that as if it's some spiritual knowledge. But my friend, the Bible says that we are supposed to be as babes desire the sincere milk. They need that nutrients. They need all that God has given them to do. And God's got a wonderful system there. And just like those babes desire that, the Bible says that we ought to desire that sincere, that pure Word. Let me challenge you to get in this book every day. Get the Bible out and let it be what you want it, what it needs to be or wants to be in your life. I think about these pots of flowers are out here and here and here, and Brother Steve comes and he keeps those going, those beautiful flowers. They don't just grow on their own. Too hot out there. They need somebody. We were in staff meeting the other day and you heard this. You say, what was that? Sound like a turkey gob. Wasn't that? It was that spigot on the outside. You can hear it from the inside. It's got one of those frost-free faucets, and he was turning it on because he was watering all of those things. But they don't grow without a lot of attention, but here's what they do. If you give them the needed nutrients and you keep water on them, then they'll grow. That's what they normally do. You'll keep the predators out from some whatever biting the tops off of them. You keep them some nutrients and you keep them some water. They'll grow. And my friends, you and I not only need to let a few things aside, lay a few things aside, but we also ought to have that normal desire for the Word of God. And I would venture to say that every believer in this room, there was a time when you had that desire. You may have let the cares of the world choke it out of you right now. But if you have, can I just challenge you to go back to where you were and let that Word dwell in you richly? And then the last one, let me give you this, verse number 3. We see if so be, or you could say it since, if so be, since you've tasted, since if so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Laying aside all those things, and that allows us to get a pure desire for the pure Word of God. Because sometimes we don't live in verse number 1, or we do live in verse number 1 in the negative way. We don't lay aside malice, and we don't lay aside that guile or that hypocrisies and the envies. We don't lay them aside. And if we don't lay verse number 1 aside, the things mentioned in verse number 1, if we don't lay them aside, then we have a hard time living in verse number 2. So if we don't live in verse number 2 and we don't let that word dwell in us, we don't as babes desire that sincere milk of the word, if we don't do that, then we aren't very good at doing verse number 3. So if verse number 1, we don't follow that and lay aside those things, because there's some of us sometimes that we've got such an appetite for junk food spiritually that we don't take the real food, the word of God. You take any kid in here, if he or she's normal, and you say, you want ice cream or you want broccoli? Well, dummy, of course he wants ice cream. I do too. Well, who would want broccoli? And broccoli's good compared to Brussels sprouts. Daniel. So you want pizza or you want cauliflower? Well, you know, are you crazy in dumb in any other areas? Of course you know what they want. And so a child will always take the things that aren't as good for them. Maybe you have the kid that's always does right, and God bless your heart. We appreciate you in that. We don't like you, but we appreciate you. I mean, some people say, oh, no, Pastor, I like that health food. Well, good for you. I hope that you feel happy all your life. The rest of us poor sinners would rather go eat pizza and ice cream. But if we don't give ourselves good stuff, well, let me back up. If we gorge ourselves on the bad, and we don't have any room for the good, and if we don't live in verse number 1 to lay aside all of these different things and put them out, then we aren't going to be likely to desire that sincere milk and later meat of the word. And then if we don't live in verse number 2, then you don't find yourself living in verse number 3, because if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, you'll be that person that just says, I don't know why all this stuff is happening to me. If we don't dive into the Word of God, I think, and I don't hate to use him as illustration, but I certainly want to embarrass him, but I think about Preacher Lastly, preached for all these years, and his contemporary, Brother Ron Comfort, preached for all these years. Miss Judy Whitson went to heaven, but she inspired people all those years. My pastor, Brother Norris, and many, many other people. Why are all these people always bragging on Jesus? It's not that their life is free of pain. Good night. The people I just mentioned have had more problems than you can shake a stick at. So it's not that it's all been easy street, but they found themselves in the midst of their problems living in the Word of God. And because they've been living in the Word of God, then they find themselves saying they've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so the secret, or if you want to be called a secret, the solution to my bad attitude and your grumbling spirit is not for everything to go easy on us. Because I've noticed a lot of people who have everything at their disposal, but they still grumble. So the secret to having a right spirit in verse number 3 and saying that the Lord is gracious is not to have everything at your beck and call and disposal, but instead, it's to be living in the Word of God, letting it richly dwell in you, since you've tasted, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, almost for certain a reference back to Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, it's normal for us to desire the Word of God in our busy lives. This is probably the busiest our world's ever been. Knowledge will be made to increase and people run to and fro. Maybe all that's coming together, of course. But it still comes down to the need of laying aside the things that hinder our walk with the Lord and then desire that book right there. I read a short blurb of a study from some German physiologists back about World War II, and they concluded back then, whether the stats have changed or not, this is what it said, that each man needed 155 to 200 calories per ton of coal that they were producing out of the mines there for the war. That was in addition, of course, to the 1,800, 2,000 calories that they needed every day for just normal living. So they had it worked down to a science that they needed this basically 200 calories per ton of coal that they were able to help produce. And then they went further and said that equals about 3 slices of bread. And so they were having people ration down to different amounts. But they said this, they called those the work calories. And they said if there were not enough work calories, meaning they didn't get enough rations of bread, if they didn't get enough work calories, and they tried to offset their needs by cigarettes or by bonus calories, something empty things, then it resulted in weight loss. And that weight loss came, quote, from the very substance of the body. This is not rocket science, of course. I know you're all saying, well, I understand that. But it's still true with us. If you don't take enough energy in, enough calories in, and you're exerting all of this, then it's got to come from somewhere. That's where weight loss comes in. And many of us say, well, that'd be a good thing. But in this instance, they weren't having any extra. And so they were worried about those workers because it was coming from the very, quote unquote, quote, substance of the body. Well, you don't have to take too long to connect that with your spiritual life. If you aren't taking in the needed nutrients, then the problems that you're facing, the coal you're producing, if you will, then it's robbing from your very substance of your spiritual life. Oh, you're trying to fill it out like these guys did with cigarettes and extra bonuses and some empty calories and things like that. You're trying to fill it in, but it's robbing you. And my friend, this evening, I would just want to tell us that we ought to have the idea, the attitude, give me the Word. If there's something in your life that's keeping you from wanting the Word of God to dwell in you, then you'd be very wise to live in that verse 1 and lay it aside and then desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. My friend, I know it sounds too simple, but as the old preacher said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And as we stay away from this book, then we start losing that essence, that spiritual stand that we need. It starts taking from the very heart of us. My friend, let it dwell in you richly. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help each and every one of us twofold. One, decide, dear Lord, that we're going to work on something in our life. Make us more like you. We're going to lay aside something. And then, dear Lord, we're going to let your Word, as a babe desires that sincere milk, Lord, may we desire one more time the Word of God to dwell in us. And then I believe we'll be shouting the victory out the other side, saying that the Lord is good. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as they begin to play something through? And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Are you letting that normal desire for the Word of God to flourish in your life? Are you getting into it? Or do you think the cares of this world have choked that out? There's a reason God puts it in order to lay aside this and make sure you desire this. And then you're able to see His goodness. As these are here at the altar, would you join them? Maybe you want to just pray, and whatever God's opened up your eyes to that you need to change. Folks, I hope I'm not the same pastor I am in 2 months that I am now in 2 months from now. I want to be more like Jesus. I want you to be as well. As these continue to pray, if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in the front of the pulpit. Love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. Would you step out? Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge. Whatever God's dealing with your heart to do, let's not leave before we do it. This way. Well, Jack's going to let me know when the live stream is off. I'm going to ask Brother Amos.